Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Christine.
Hi, Christine. This is Carla.
How are you today, Carla?
I'm good. Thank you. And you?
I'm okay. I'm in my car, so.
Are you driving home?
I'm headed to a job fair, looking for a job.
Oh, okay. Ooh.
Hi, it's Sasha.
Hi,
Hi,
Sasha.
Sasha. Let me guess who's on the line. You're it's Genevieve and Randy. Hi, you guys. How are you?
I'm good, Sasha. Thank you. This is
Can
Carla.
you guys? Hi, Carla. And I'm assuming Christine?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. Christine, thanks for emailing me. I know you have to be on mute most of the time, but I hope you will be able to participate some. But like I said, being mindful of your driving.
Okay, and I'll be listening, so.
Oh, of course, of course. You're the best listener on the call. So I'm having, oh my God, this program is just like Mercury in retrograde for this entire program. Internet is out at my house, so I don't have the Turbo Bridge line that I usually use to mute people or see if we have any issues or see who's on the line. So the good news is that I'm able to, dial in, and you guys can hear me okay, right? Because I'm on my phone today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can hear you
Mm-hmm.
fine.
Okay, great. That's the bottom line. Everything else is manageable. But just, I shake my head. I'm like, really? I'm just gonna manage a couple other things before. So I don't know when people come on. Hopefully they'll. Did it ask you to say your name?
It didn't today.
No, because I'm not on there turning that little feature on. Okay, well. We'll figure it out.
It's Joyce, by the way.
Oh, hi, Joyce. See,
Hi.
again, because that feature isn't on, I don't know who's on the call. So thank you, Joyce. And if anyone else is on the call, please announce yourself.
Hi, it's Sue.
Hi, Sue. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you. How about you?
Good. I'm doing great.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Please do so.
Hello, it's Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Hi,
Hi.
Randy.
Hi, Randy.
Gosh, a lot of people are on. Good.
Sue, Randy. Anyone else? So we're looking for Jamie and Genevieve.
And Carla.
Oh, yes, Carla. Sorry.
Hello, I'm here.
Jamie's here.
Thank you, Jamie, for announcing yourself. And Genevieve will be with us very soon, I'm sure. Let's go ahead and get into our grounding, and then I'll share what's going on technologically here. Everything's cool, but just want to share some things. So is there anyone that hasn't volunteered to lead a grounding that would like to do so today?
This is Jamie. I haven't.
Okay. Well, Jamie, thank you for volunteering anytime you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was just going to say, you may have your own thing that you want to do, and that's cool, but it can be breath, intention, or mantra, just anything for our work together today. Anything you
okay.
want is great.
Okay. Just take a deep breath in and draw your attention into your heart center. Take another deep breath, keeping your attention in your heart center. And then in your mind, simply repeat, I have arrived. I am home in the here and the now. Thank you. Are you still there?
That was very nice.
Hello.
Jamie.
No, that was very nice. Yeah. Thank you, Jamie.
Is everybody here?
Yeah. I was on mute because I have gardeners going on, and I didn't. And then I started talking, and I didn't take myself off mute. So there you go. Happens to the best of us. Thank you. I'm going to be using that mantra for the rest of the day. So I was telling the folks that came on a little bit early that I was having some technology issues. Go figure. I really think that Mercury's in retrograde for our entire series together. But it looks like I'm back on. And so what that simply means is I manage this line through what's called a turbo bridge line. And all that means to you guys is I can see who's on, I can see who's left, and it gives that feature to announce yourself and the recording. But it looks like I am back on. So I just apologize for a little bit of the delay. So let's go around. And Genevieve, if you do come on, just let us know that you're here or when you do come on. Let's go around. I want everyone to speak today, but I'm going to shorten up what you're going to share. I'd love for you to share a win, and that's basically just a conscious acknowledgement of something that happened to you this week that was really great. And then also the action challenge. Pick one of the action challenge bullet points that are in red in your yoga supplement, which is part of your homework, so on pages 7 and 8. And just share a little bit about that piece, because that is going to tie into what we're going to be discussing today. Who would like to begin?
This is Randy. I'll go first.
Thank you, Randy.
I'll take over Joyce's role.
No, last week Joyce went last. She's changed roles.
That's right.
I'll be back, Randy.
Good. A win for me was I have been just coaching some actually friends and neighbors, and actually it included coaching my own partner, since she said, "Hey, I'll practice with you." And it's just been really wonderful. It's been deepening and a wonderful experience and a practice session, and she's a good person to work with. So that has been wonderful.
And before you go on to the action challenge, Randy, what is your biggest takeaway from doing your practice coaching?
Biggest takeaway, I think, would be learning how the mediation model that I've been using how effective it is, and yet the coaching questions and asking powerful questions, how those two work together so nicely.
Wonderful. Thank you. And action challenge?
The second one on the Yoga to Life, what questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others? I think the one that just popped into my mind was, you know, what's really important to you in this moment? Just somehow adding that word really just helps people drop into the next level, you know, once it's said authentically, and helps cut through.
Wonderful. That's great. Thank you for sharing. Who would like to go next?
I can go.
Okay. Thank you, Joyce. Are you
like
smiling?
I'm smiling.
I know. I can hear it in your voice all the time. You're smiling. It's great.
Yeah. Why not? That's what I think. This ended up being a win. I did probably the unthinkable. I asked one of my sisters if I could coach them. And so it was pretty much a nightmare in the beginning. She was all over the place, and I kept saying, no, that's your old story. Remember, I was there. I know your old story. Let's talk about this story. But she was like a rubber band. She kept going back. But eventually, I did get her to set an agenda, set a little step that she would take toward accomplishing her agenda. And I followed up with her today, and she's actually been doing it and has been noticing some change. So that was honestly huge.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So as far as the action challenge, I'll do the one that on the mat, like how can you create, if you see that a student is out of balance, usually I'm the student out of balance, and what can the instructor do? Like, first of all, by modeling, checking out their breathing to see if they're breathing, hands-on adjustment to put them into the right pose, and show them how to use props, suggest some modifications. And those are some of the tools that you can use.
That's fantastic. That's great. Thank you. I just want to keep it short to give everyone a chance to share. So who would like to go next?
I'll go. It's Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
So my win was this morning. I actually taught my first Karma Project yoga class. I know. And it was really wonderful. I had the opportunity. I'm taking yoga into a local recovery center. And the two women that were there were just incredibly welcoming, and it felt great. And they said I did a good job. So that was definitely a woohoo win. And for the action challenge, I also was thinking about what questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others see honestly where they are. And one of the things I'm thinking about, a client I'm working with, and she's trying to make a decision about going in a particular direction in her life. And so I suggested using the concept of trying it on, and like you would try on an outfit at a store, and kind of just really feeling it. And apparently she finds this to be a really effective tool to kind of help her kinesthetically feel if she's moving in the right direction, if something is resonating with her. So I thought that was kind of a fun technique question.
Yes.
I guess.
Absolutely. You know, whatever works.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you, Jamie. Well, one person's poison is another person's medicine, right? We're all different. So who would like to go next?
Hi, it's Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Go ahead.
Well, a win for me today was understanding the importance of breath and breathing and not being fearful to yoga breathe in a class when no one is breathing. That was very challenging this morning. I went to a class with five ladies who really weren't breathing, and I was just breathing, and I'm thinking how important breath is. And I was very grateful that I know how important breathing is, and I would like to really share that. So that was awesome. A challenge for me is to not be fearful to share breath. Sometimes when you breathe in a class, it really can sound kind of dragon-like or whatever, but I'm not going to worry about that, is what I decided. And, you know, my action today was actually to be able to breathe, and I think that I touched some people with the breath, because it's all about breath. We cannot do very much if we cannot breathe.
Absolutely. And that is so important, and that's very empowering. Thank you for sharing. Who's next, please?
It's Carla.
Thanks, Carla. Go ahead.
My opinion was that I was explaining to a client, the client asked me last week about intuition, how she could really know when she was using her intuition, and I gave her some answers. And this morning I got a gift from a very good friend of mine, and it was a movie. And a lot of the things that I gave to my client last week, they all came back in this movie. And I felt very, very, became very happy, because it was a reassurance for me that I was on the right track and that I did a good job with the client. Let's see. And for the yoga to life, what happens when our beliefs and our actions are out of line? I think that's very simple. When the beliefs and actions are out of alignment, you will have to deal with a lot of obstructions. If the beliefs and actions are in sync, everything runs smoothly. That's it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just sent you a quick email, but you're sounding a little unclear. So if you don't mind, would you hang up and call back in?
Okay, perfect.
That would be great. Thanks, Carla. All right, so
okay.
We have Christine and Genevieve left. Who would like to go, please? And Christine is driving. Christine, I'm going to hold off. Genevieve, would you go next, please?
All right, I just had to unmute my thing.
That's okay. Thank you.
So my win this week was, it was my boyfriend's 50th birthday party, and we had it, and it was really fun. And so that was my win, because we worked hard for a 50th birthday party. And my challenge this week was I'm working
just the action challenge, not a personal challenge.
Okay, action challenge.
It's okay. You may not have been on the call yet when I explained that. So because I wanted to give everybody a chance to talk, so I wanted to keep it shorter.
Okay. So I use what questions or reframing techniques do you use to help others be honestly where they are? I think using the question of, and how did that work for you? Helps them to see where they are with the situation.
Right. Perfect for yoga and for coaching. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you all for sharing. I'm just going to skip Christine because she's driving, and she said if she is in a place where she can talk, she'll unmute. So, Christine, let us know if that's whenever you want to jump in and share. Okay. Sounds like you all are doing amazing work in the world, and I'm really glad to hear that you're taking this program out into your lives. You know, whether it's on the mat or off, coaching friends, partners, you know, colleagues, you're building strength in that muscle. So, yay for all of you. Any questions on the reading? Okay. There wasn't that much to read, and we'll get into it a little bit as we go into our discussion. So, if everyone could turn to page 99 in their manual, and I'd like to ask somebody to share, and I'm going to ask people to mute if you're not speaking because I'm getting a little bit of feedback on the call, on the line. So is there anyone on the call that would like to sort of reframe what we talked about last week on shifting the perspective? Before we go into the number 4 tool, framing the session, it doesn't have to be long or involved, just sort of a high-level summary of shifting the perspective. What did you learn from last week's call?
Hi, Sue.
Thank you, Sue. Go ahead.
Last week's call, I believe I was coaching Kala and shifting the perspective reminds me when she was coaching, she felt like she was coaching her friend and, you know, she felt like she was being taken advantage of a little bit and just by suggesting that maybe she could, you know, use her as a tool for finishing or doing her classwork, I felt that she got a little shift from that. So just a little thought that might change or just have someone look at something a different way is big, no matter how it works. But if you could just shift a little bit,
mm-hmm.
I think that's important. Just a little bit.
Yes. Absolutely.
Could make a, you know, could be a big step.
Right. And those baby steps add up, you know, in the end. So that's exactly right. It's really the coaches. Aha moment, you know, and you're inviting them to shift their perspective, but you're absolutely right that the shift, the impetus has to come from the client to have a greater impact, even if the coach feels like they know or they want to suggest. And we talked about that dance a little bit last week too, when to suggest, when to advise, when to empower your client to come up with the answers themselves. And you keeping them accountable. So absolutely, and a reminder not to force or rush them to come to a decision, continuing to use your powerful questions and your listening skills to let the client come up with these ideas and these strategies and these goals on their own. So great, Sue, thank you for sharing that. So we're still on page 99, and today's session really revolves around the fourth tool of the simple coaching model, which is framing the session. And as Dr. Dave likes to say, and I've borrowed his line, framing the masterpiece. So we talked about this a little bit when we were going over all 5 on the top of page 100. Who would like to read those 2 paragraphs? the culmination.
I will. It's Randy.
Okay. Thanks, Randy.
The culmination of each coaching session is to reach an agreement about the next steps that the client will commit to in the following week prior to the next session. A formal stated action plan by the client allows both coach and client to know exactly what the client's commitment is and how success will be measured. Both parties are clearly and specifically focused on the success map for that week.
Great. So it seems to be pretty straightforward, and I'll definitely create space for inquiry if we need to discuss. But so just some things that I wanted to maybe expand on regarding framing masterpiece is that as coaches, we hold the space, right? So the client may decide if and how they want to change. So, you know, their commitment to their homework, moving forward and being held accountable, all those ways of showing up are the distinguishing features of coaching. Right there, that's another difference between coaching and consulting and or therapy, that we're using those tools to continue to keep the client in action. And again, with my studying with Dr. Dave and just learning more about this program and my time as a yoga teacher, they just go hand in hand. And one of our most common addictions is solving problems, because it gives us something to focus on, right? In times of high stress, we often want to fix someone or something, right? And then when you get your client through your navigation, your skills, the principles that you're applying to shift to possibility thinking, it actually opens up the door to a new way of thinking or a new perspective, which kind of ties in number three from last week. So let's just throw this out on the table a little bit and explore and ask questions and discuss more in depth of what framing the masterpiece looks like. Who has any questions to begin? Of how this tool would show up and be used in the coach-client relationship? Because we'll get into some yoga parallels in a minute. Anyone, it can be anything from how you understand it, to what purpose does it serve, to I'm having a difficult time reaching that step. Just opening it up.
Sasha, Joyce.
Yeah. Hi, Joyce. Thanks.
Hi. As I understand it, you've asked your open question, and the client has the shift, and then you ask what steps will you do next. So they are dictating what it's going to be, right? And you're maybe just repeating it back in a way and then asking them if you heard that correctly, getting them to commit to it. I mean, that's right, isn't it?
It is. It goes a little bit more specific when they are, you're trying to get them to come to some action steps, right? So they've had this
right.
perspective shift, and now how can they stay clear on that? What kind of steps can they take to continue to foster and nurture this new perspective that they have, right? So, yeah, so continuing to ask the questions, continuing to, you know, listen and sort of navigate together what's going to work for them, but letting them drive, right? We're not hijacking.
Right, exactly, which is so difficult. I mean, you're leading them in a way that they won't go unless they have come up with it themselves and they've really committed.
Right. Tell me, so, say more a little bit about what's difficult, what piece of that specifically.
Well, as I have that problem-solving addiction. I'll be the first to admit it. And so, you know, you do have to hold back. But I still feel that sometimes I might be, even though I'm asking a question, my question might be leading. Is that like a horrible no?
No, I'm not judging in any way, shape, or form. And I invite you to do the same. So can you give an example of what would be a leading question for you?
Well, all right, so I was working with someone, and she was talking about how it feels when she comes into her house and it's, you know, dark, and or it feels dark to her and foreboding, but when she's out in the world, you know, she's light and free. So, you know, I just might compare the light and the dark, like, where are you happier? I mean, I don't know. That may be leading a little bit. It seemed obvious to me, but it wasn't so obvious to her.
Right. And that is absolutely the case most of the time. And that's where our skills as a coach come in. I'm not sure how you're defining leading, but that's a brilliant question. That's not leading. That's actually inviting your client to consider.
Oh, okay.
Options. You're asking them to think deeper than maybe they were. You're giving them some tools, you know, to think about something in a different way. That's a brilliant question. Does that make sense? Does that feel any different?
Yeah, I mean, it felt great to me that it was where I wanted her to go. So,
and what would have happened if she didn't go where you wanted her to go?
I know. That's a good question.
What would
I know what would happen. Sue, you have to get her to come back next week.
I would ask her to tell me a little bit more about that. What's holding her back from thinking that way? Can she think about it another way? I mean, you know, more questioning, more open
right.
questions.
Absolutely.
And realize that she just wasn't ready right then.
Absolutely. That's great. That's great. Just continuing with the questions. Because just remember, it's not our agenda. We may feel like we know what the right answers for our client are,
mm-hmm.
but in truth, we're there to support their journey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, again, just building that muscle. Those are great questions. Great questions.
Yes. Thank you.
Who else would like to share an experience of this on either end as a coach or a client or any inquiries on framing the masterpiece, how it serves the client?
This is Jamie.
Go ahead, Jamie. Thanks.
I had a session yesterday with my client, and we did exactly this. She had made a choice in her own life to apply to a job, and there were specific responsibilities that she had to take care of. She had to write 2 articles. And so she moved from the place of just not being able to do this to recognizing that she could do this, which to me was the shift. And so then we moved into just a process, and I actually used the SMART goals and introduced those to her. And then it felt like together, but she was making the decision in terms of the time frame, what she needed to do next. And it was really an interesting process because as she was talking, I could hear her see her own timeline and see where she was expecting too much, and she would revise. And at the end, she came up with like a 3-step plan. And then I asked her how she wanted to be coached around it. And she asked me to send her an email tomorrow morning just to help her stay on track. So I said yes.
She asked you. She's holding you accountable, right? I love it.
I mean,
that's great. That's great. How does that feel? How does that feel?
It really feels very good because I felt like I was able to coach her in terms of the specific steps without getting involved in the time frame or how they were completed by her.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, if you're not talking, please mute. Again, there's just a little bit of feedback on the call. Thanks. That's wonderful. That's just great, Jamie. And thank you for sharing the experience of, you know, your coaching and what you're doing, and that the tools that we're learning here are showing up, and SMART goals are a great way to sort of navigate this this roadmap, you know, towards what they're going to do in the next week, in the next 30 days, in the next 60 days, and you can break it down wherever you are with your client, right? So, yeah, great. Thanks for sharing. We can take one more if anybody has an experience they want to share or a question on this piece of our discussion.
Yeah, I think one question that came up for me and I wanted to ask and get your feedback on is, you know, what do you keep inside the frame, and then what's starting to encroach in the frame? And sometimes when a person's working on something, as you're working on the goal, something else kind of comes up that might either interrupt or be a part of the framing, but it's another issue to some degree altogether. And I think what I've just done is to just acknowledge it, see if we've got enough time. Probably most of the time at that point in the session you don't, but just curious about thoughts when the frame all of a sudden starts to shift because the other issues come in.
Could you be more specific?
Well, let's say you're working on a specific goal for a person and they're talking about it, and you in your in sort of defining the agenda and working on a specific, there was a couple things that came up, but one was a bigger aha, but the other was hanging out there and important and influences and impacts the one piece that you're working on that you're then beginning to frame. So the question is, you know, do you go back to that to bring it in? Is that an issue for you, or do you feel like it just happens organically?
Yeah. Well, my question to you, Randy, before I answer that is it impacting you? Are you having this personal agenda that you're now working with this client, and all of a sudden something else comes in, up that interferes with that picture? Is it impacting you, or are you feeling that it's impacting the client to be able to move forward with, you know, how they want to navigate this goal?
Probably the former. At least I kind of notice it by saying, okay, we talked about a few things here. Earlier in the session, you mentioned that this was an issue. Is this still an issue for you? How do you want to work on it? Do you want to, is that something you still want to think about? Do you feel good now? That's kind of how I worked with it.
I think that's awesome, because you're checking in with the client, because they may not put as much weight on this little side piece as maybe you are, and I'm just using that as an example. You want to check in. I would always check in. How is this impacting you? Do you feel that this is going to, you know, keep you from moving forward? Do you want, you know, obviously open-ended questions, but I'm just saying this for conversation purposes. You know, if you want to explore this more next time, we can save this for our next call. You know, there, you just don't want to shove it away, but check in with them to see if they're sensing the impact it's having is the same as the one that you're having. Because remember, it's does that make sense? You're feeling the impact, but maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe this is not a deterrent to them reaching their goals. So I would just check in with them.
Yep. Okay.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you. I think we're just sort of distilling down and defining more the framing the masterpiece part. Let's turn to page 129, 11 steps to ignite change. And all of these bullet points are, you know, great ways to help foster change in people. And I want to spend a little bit of time sort of bridging on the mat and off the mat, because these are so just synthesizing coaching with yoga. It just, I'm fascinated by it all the time as if I've just heard it for the first time. So we're just going to experience the effectiveness of using some of these tools. So when you work with your client and you're getting them to focus more on solutions, right, rather than solving problems. It could be some great questions that I just wrote down to share with you guys. You know, what will be helpful moving forward for either your personal or professional growth? Again, they're focusing on their solutions. And also, how will you know when you've achieved your goal? So these are powerful questions that will incite the client to really dive into what this really means, to really think about how they're going to navigate and how this change is going to show up as effectiveness in their life. Can anyone share a parallel with yoga on how a student can experience, you know, effectiveness when they focus on solutions rather than the problem? And as always, it can be as a teacher or it can be as a student.
Okay, it's Sue. A solution to the problem. Yoga, with yoga, you're on your mat. Your foot is not in the best alignment. So the teacher comes over and kind of uses her hand or her foot, and you just do a little shift. And you look up, and you see the change that it creates.
Great, that the student sees the change that it creates.
The student sees the change just by one little shift of the teacher coming over and just pointing to your foot, because you can't start touching people sometimes in their feet because they get all wobbly, but you can sort of point where your foot needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
And a little shift can create change.
As simple as that. That's great. What else? Comparing coaching to yoga in terms of focusing on solutions. And we can, you know, have an example of a certain pose. Maybe somebody was struggling with, maybe they're fearful of, like, what tools do you use to support focusing on the solutions?
This is Jamie.
Go ahead, Jamie.
So I'm thinking of props, and in conjunction, as the parallel with coaching would be asking the client what resources they have available to them. If they feel like they can't do something, what resources might they have available that could provide support, just like if I can't reach down to the floor when I'm doing Warrior 3, I can use a block. So I'm not focusing on the fact that I can't reach down to the floor, but the instructor is suggesting, well, here's a solution, here's a block, and so use this, and you can still do the pose.
Great. So that's a love that analogy of props in the yoga studio, but resources in the coach-client relationship. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I haven't thought of that, but that's great. Makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Great. Thanks, Jamie. Anybody else? Take one more.
Hi, this is Genevieve.
Thanks.
I think focusing on a solution is a good way to have your student is to visualize where they want to go. I was like, okay, well, you may be here, and you know, just visualize where you want to go, and you and that really a lot, you know, helps them to see themselves in the posture and sort of relax more in the posture and feel the posture. And then along with that, I always say, you know, it's like, you may never get there, but it doesn't matter because it's the journey that matters.
Right. Brilliant. I love it. I mean, that's a perfect, you know, and the words were in the other supplement, like, your student is, you know, you're reminding them or they're showing you where they are, and you're helping to show them where they want to go through all of the tools that you mentioned. And visualization is huge. I don't know if any of you have any experience. I'm a visual learner. I don't know if you guys know how you learn best, what modality, you know, auditory, kinesthetic, visual.
It's Sue and I am visual.
You're visual as well. Great.
I'm a visual learner. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And when you connect with a student that, a visual student and a visual teacher, and you put those two together, I mean, there's success right there. Not to say that, if you're not in the same learning modality, you couldn't achieve solutions. You absolutely can. But, just knowing more about how your client learns is wonderful. And Genevieve, you know, you've got a long history of experience and a wealth of knowledge as a yoga teacher, and just guiding your students in that way and asking them to visualize is just a great resource. Awesome. Thank you.
I just had a quick question. What was the other question that you mentioned before? How will you know when you achieve your goal? You said another question that you thought of.
I did. And the one prior to that was, what will be helpful moving forward for your personal or professional growth, depending on what the subject matter is you're working with? What will be helpful moving forward for your personal or professional growth?
Okay.
Yeah. Great. All right, let's move on to just another idea to explore the parallel between coaching and yoga. Sustaining the process, even in the discomfort. How do you create effectiveness around someone that is in discomfort? And let me just preface this by saying, by discomfort in the coaching-client relationship, I'm not talking about, like, emotional trauma, right? We've already decided that that's not a place that we hang out very often. It may come up in glimpses, but we don't hang out there. So what are some parallels to sustaining the process, even in the discomfort?
Breathing.
Absolutely. Say more.
Yes, your breath, you directly are related. Your emotional state and your breath is directly related. And if you can just focus on breath, you'll notice your emotional change.
Mm. Yeah. And what would you do, Genevieve, if you had a beginner student come to your class and they weren't really familiar with the, not necessarily the pranayama, you know, the breathing techniques, but they've never consciously breathed before?
To let them know that, yoga, it's a whole new language. Everything in the hour that they're going to experience is a whole new language. And sometimes forget about everything if you need to, and just focus on your breath and try to make it fuller and deeper than normal breathing. But just to watch it come in and out and just really focus on the breath.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah. As Sue mentioned in the beginning of our call, I mean, breath is key. So key. Who else would go ahead, Sue.
I think also in a classroom setting for an hour with a newbie who's a little anxious, I think eye contact and a little smile go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reassuring them, letting them know that.
Exactly, with your eyes and your smile.
Yeah. Wonderful. Who else would like to share some other ways that you feel yoga parallels this piece of sustaining the process, even in the discomfort?
I guess I would add one of the things that I've liked what yoga teachers have done and has worked for me is finding the right place or level of discomfort where I really can breathe into it. And it's not a level of discomfort that's so much that I have to shut down or dissociate. So, and I think yoga teachers can be very good at that, is to find that edge where the discomfort is and, you know, hang out in the right zone, so to speak, and not try to overdo it. And yeah.
So what are the? Easier. I'm sorry, Randy, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
So, and once you're in that, then it's whether it's breathing, being aware, really feeling the sensations that are there, and just allowing support that exists internally, that sort of internal wisdom to help co-create the situation moving forward.
Absolutely. And what is the downside of moving past a place of discomfort, taking it to a deeper level on the yoga mat?
Injury.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of the things. Physical injury, I think you dissociate, you're all of a sudden doing things you shouldn't be doing, and you lose touch with your own body and your own needs.
And that is so key. You want your students to be safe, not only physically, but mentally and emotionally. And so our job as teachers is to hold that safe space and then not be afraid to speak to what exactly is happening. Because I think, as we all know and have experienced, yoga invites discomfort. We're holding poses, and there's many different styles, but it invites us to be in the experience of the discomfort. And then how you choose to either react or respond is going to show very clearly your patterns in how you will choose to react or respond when you're in a similar situation of discomfort off the mat. Right, so what we do on the mat, we do off, typically. Those are our patterns, right, our habits. So, I love that. And can someone else speak to sort of an example or how you understand sustaining the process, even in the discomfort, in the coaching relationship? So just want to make sure that's super clear.
It's Joy.
Go ahead, George.
Change is uncomfortable. I'm going to go back to what Randy said about holding a pose, being taken to a place of discomfort. And does that show us a glimpse of where you want to go, like what will happen after the change? Is that a parallel that could the steps toward change will give you a glimpse at where you're going to go.
So I'm just going to reflect back because I'm not sure I understand your question 100%, but that when the client sees the changes that are occurring, even if they're in baby steps, they're going to be able to see past their present discomfort?
Exactly.
Hi, Sue. I call it a sweet spot. I call it a sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sweet spot. Great.
So you make them feel. I'm sorry.
No, please go ahead. Finish.
Like safe through the discomfort, and it's just slow. It's, you know, it's like when you're making an adjustment in a yoga move. You don't just, you know, jerk their head down for forward bend. I mean, it, you know, it's just a slow articulation. I mean, it's the parallel. That when you can move beyond that, just a little, you know, nano inch or whatever, then you can see where you're headed.
Right. And what are the benefits of that?
It's achievable. I mean, it's part of what makes it, you know, a SMART goal. You see you can get there. And then you're building on success instead of failure.
Okay. What are the benefits to the coach-client relationship?
It's the same thing. You're speaking of possibilities of where you're going, not where you've been, not the issues, not the problems. It's all the possibilities. And you can get there just one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think then they believe. Then they believe they can be successful. And they're more inclined to do that rather than with the discomfort.
And the discomfort may be there for a long, long time because we don't know what's causing the discomfort, but we address it only in as much. And, Randy, this is what your earlier question speaks to, only in as much as it is a deterrent to them reaching their goals. Great.
The process.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead.
Process that I'm hearing also, in my mind, builds trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is
Jamie, are you there?
Yeah. That's,
okay, sorry,
I mean,
lost you.
That's all I was thinking is that it really builds trust. If I am in a yoga class and the teacher is pushing me far beyond my edge, or I feel as though there's some form of neglect, I don't necessarily have the same level of trust. But if a teacher is taking me slowly and making gentle adjustments and giving me the sense that I'm really cared for, then I open up more and more and more and become more and more trusty.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's creating a trust. You're building a support system, and over time that lands really strongly and effectively with the client to be able to open up and explore places that they may not if that trust wasn't there. And that kind of segues perfectly into the third and final piece where the comfortable and confident is not a place that clients and students begin. Right? We're coming, not necessarily, and it's a little bit of a difference, you know, people are going to yoga and certainly for their own reasons, and certainly beginners may have the self-consciousness you know, not as confident, not as comfortable. And the same thing goes for a client that is seeking coaching. But in that regard, when clients are seeking coaching, in my opinion, they've decided that they want to change something and they need support. Yoga can definitely have a parallel there. It's just slightly a bit different. Does anybody want to speak to that piece?
Can you say that again?
Sure. It's just that, you know, we don't come as beginners. If we're new to coaching, if we're new to yoga, right? If we're new to anything, we're not going to walk into that relationship or that class feeling comfortable,
right,
confident, right? It's not a place that we begin. So how can you create effectiveness for change when you have a client or a student that's in that place?
By framing and showing possibilities.
Give an example, please.
Possibilities. So you're not comfortable, but maybe you will be if you try this next step. And try and get them to envision what the next step is and how it would look like if they took that step.
Great. And would it be helpful if you shared maybe a personal experience in that setting, as in, for example, I remember what it was like when I took my first yoga class. Or I remember what it was like when I, you know, took a leap of faith and hired a coach to help me XYZ.
It's pretty scary sometimes.
Yeah. 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 Probably most people don't do it. Anybody
mind, but if someone is...
Go ahead, Sue. Go ahead.
If you have a coach that's encouraging you, giving you kind words to get you to the next level, and you go for it, and you listen up, you can make a change.
Right. It's helpful to have the support of a coach, for sure. For sure. But the client has to do the work.
Exactly.
Anyone else want to add just briefly to this last parallel?
I would add, in just picking up on what you had said, that a lot of it really is about building the relationship and creating a container, a safe container, so that when they do get into that discomfort, so that they feel like the discomfort is okay, it's, they understand it, and there's someone they can relate to, and they don't feel kind of isolated in their discomfort.
Right. Great. Thanks for adding that, Randy. And so just to tie this up, you know, before we get to our coach, the coach call, okay, give them reasons and tools for reflection and to begin.
You are cutting in and out there, Sasha.
Yeah.
Wow, Sasha, that is really weird. Woo!
Oh, can you hear me? I haven't even moved.
Oh.
Can you guys hear me?
Sounds better now.
All right. Did you catch any of that?
No, we didn't. I thought maybe the landscapers were in your house.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see.
There
all
we
right,
go.
I'm going to just celebrate and validate the small successes of your client along the way. Help them find the tools for self-reflection. And incorporate, ask them to incorporate change as part of their identity. So you're just, again, supporting them. You're celebrating them. You're building that relationship. So it's really important to not wait until that 30, 60, 90-day goal is met. But what did they do last week that was awesome? Who is that student in your yoga class that could never get one foot off the ground in crow pose, and now they're getting, you know, a foot off the ground? So celebrate the small successes. Okay. We are at the top of the hour, so today we have Joyce coaching Randy with Sue observing. And before we start, I missed this last week, can someone please just name the five steps of the simple coaching model? Carla, would you take those, please? I want to make sure you're on.
Yes, I'm on.
Okay. Do you mind doing those?
Clarify the agenda. Look for coachable moments, inviting the shift, framing the masterpiece, closing questions. That's what's most valuable for you today.
Yeah, and you sound much clearer, so thank you. All right, so today we're really listening for framing the masterpiece. Everyone, please mute, but Joyce and Randy, give us a moment and then watch your time. Have a great session.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm good, Joyce.
Great. What would you like us to focus on in this session?
Well, I was thinking about this issue that I am in the process of putting my website together, which is a bigger issue, but it, one piece of that, or at least it's in context of I want to write a short article, and I haven't yet had time to focus on it, so I need to just think through when I'm going to do this and how it's going to fit in to all the other priorities I have.
Okay, so you're in the process of putting together your website and have a lot going on, but what you really want to focus on is how to write an article. And if I'm hearing you correctly, you're just trying to find a time frame, the time to do it.
Yeah, and sort of clarifying that I can get this done in a reasonable amount of time that's not going to take too much time away from the time I need to finish the website, which are part of my SMART goals, which I'm a little behind on.
So will the article be in your website, or is it something before that?
I think I would probably include it on the website. I think generally what I've done is they're a little bit personal, and then I will tweak it so that it's a little more general so I can put it on the website. So it is something that I can see using, but I've talked about sharing it with my partner, sharing it with another friend to help kind of explain some of the processes that I've been going through and just understanding the process and the area of interest that I want to work with people on.
Okay. All right, so this is personal. It's a personal journey for you that you want to write it in a way that everyone can read it. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be helpful personally, but I think I'm going to frame it, you know, mostly on a good outline of what the process is. So I guess it's a little bit personal and a little bit more just clear content, I guess. That
right.
Helps explore.
So, yeah, would you call it an informational piece?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you have an idea of what it is. Have you written any type of an outline?
No, I haven't even gotten started on it.
What's holding you back, Randy?
Um, I think I am, it's not a super high priority, but I also feel like I've been kind of, I feel like it's been germinating and the time is kind of ready to complete this and sort of just kind of get it started, get it finished. And so to some degree, it's what's holding me back has been various other projects that I've had to get done and then not feeling like I'm yet, like it's really internally come together, but I think it's just about there. That's why I feel like, okay, I really need to see if I can get some support in figuring out when I'm going to do this and how to make sure I do it.
Mm-hmm. So it really hasn't been at the top of your things that you need to do, and other projects do get in the way. But what I'm hearing is that this is really calling to you. Like you really have a yearning to do it. Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's the time is right. Something that I think is going to help clarify my own niche and help clarify my own kind of thinking and feeling about what else is going to emerge in terms of my work and the website. So, and I think I ought to be able to do it, you know, without, you know, if I just spent, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours on it, I think I could probably get it done.
Do you think you could find 2 or 3 hours?
Well, actually, my partner Renee is leaving this to whatever. I've got the weekend, and I'm thinking if I just block some time off on the weekend that she's not here, and I could just kind of put aside, going outside, but just setting some specific time that that's what I need.
So when she's there, you're both busy with other things and you get sidetracked, and if she's not there, then you have all this time to yourself to work on it. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more time. You know, it's just a little bit more spacious for sure.
Okay. So do you mind if I ask what it's about?
No. It is, it's kind of a summary of a book that I've been reading called Out of the Darkness, Turmoil to Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some of the best writing and summarization of this process of deep trauma and turmoil and how that gets turned into awakening experiences.
Oh, wow. I love it. So this would be your own awakening experience.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of it is about the process itself and trying to describe it in a shorter frame so somebody doesn't have to read the whole book, but they kind of get what the process is, how it oftentimes works. I think when I write, it helps me clarify my own thinking as well as kind of what's happened in my own life and what that process has been like.
Right. I agree. That's, I think, the most powerful thing you can do. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like you're going to write a formula that a lot of people will be able to follow and relate to.
Yeah, I think it's less a formula than because it's maybe just sort of summarizing this sort of part of the spectrum. So I guess it's a bit of a formula, but it's, and again, it's not necessarily, I've got my own unique experience of what this has been like, and but it's also looking at that, summarizing the other ways it happens in the psychological and spiritual reasonings for how it happens, or pathways.
Well, Randy, I want to read it when you have it done. I mean, it sounds wonderful. Sounds like something everyone can relate to. Can we talk about how we are going to get this done, or you're going to get this done? Can you maybe tell me some steps that you will take to get this done this weekend?
Well, I think what I should do is I need to kind of just commit to saying, okay, this seems like a good weekend to do it, to set aside a couple of hours to kind of get started, start writing, putting a rough draft on, and then seeing if maybe even on Sunday I could revisit it and edit, and by the end of the weekend have something that's a good first draft.
Okay. Well, would you be, what if something came up? Let's say Renee didn't go away this weekend. Would that sidetrack you?
Well, you know, what if something comes up? Fortunately, in my life right now, it's, you know, my daughter's away at college. Renee really is going to be going away to teach, so I don't know if you want to be here. You know, if friends want to do something, I can say, listen, I have this project I don't want to work on, and try to, you know, set another time on the weekend or in the evening or something to work on it, but just to really make sure I carve out the time.
Yeah. That's so great to hear. Things always come up. It's nice that you're putting yourself and your goals first. Okay, so you have committed, and you know if you tell me this, I'm going to follow up. So you have to do it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I brought this up on this call.
So you are committed regardless of whatever comes up. And you're going to do it by setting, I'm just repeating what you said, so tell me if I'm wrong. You're going to do it by setting aside a time on, is it Saturday that you'll set that time aside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So on Saturday, you are going to set aside 3 hours?
Yeah, I'd say that somewhere 2 to 3 hours is a good chunk.
Okay. All right, so set aside 2 or 3 hours on Saturday, and then on Sunday, you're going to take a look at it and edit it, make any changes, and then it will be done by Sunday evening, do you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it should be. Or at least have a good sense on, you know, what, I'll feel good enough as to committing to get something started. I don't quite know what's going to emerge, but I think enough will have happened.
Okay, that's good enough. That's great. Okay, so can you tell me in your own words what you're going to do?
Well, I think you summarized it well. I mean, what's helpful is just to tell you and be witnessed by this, and knowing that you care, and you're going to call and follow up. So, and I really do, when I really do get down to writing, and I can spend the time writing about something I care about, I usually kind of like what comes out, and it feels good. So I can kind of hold that sense as well.
Yeah. So something to look forward to, really.
Yeah, in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, when is a good time for me to call you? Is Monday too soon?
Let's see. No, why don't you call me on Monday and see how far I got. And Renee is gone, and I think, I don't know, any time Monday morning if you want.
Okay.
Monday evening, it doesn't matter.
Well, I will call you Monday at, I'm on East Coast time. It'd be 11 o'clock my time, and that would be, is that 9 o'clock your time, or is it just an hour?
Yeah, 9 o'clock, I think we're 2 hours.
Okay. Is that too early? Is that good?
No, that's good. Why not?
Okay. I'm really looking forward to hearing all about it, Randy.
Thank you. It's been great being able to share this and give myself an impetus to really make it happen. Thank you.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, Randy.
Thanks, you guys. So if you two could place yourself on mute and Sue, come off mute, and if you would begin our feedback discussion, please. What did you notice that didn't work?
That did not work?
No, both.
That did not work?
The first part cut off. What did you notice that worked? Did she follow the format? And what feedback can you give to Joyce?
Well, I believe she followed the format. She sounds inviting from her initial hello. She confirms what he says or what he said. She repeated his goals to him. It sounds to me like she truly wants to understand where Randy is coming from. She has some very powerful suggestions. What's holding you back, Randy? Be specific. She recognized his calling. She asked him how he could find the hours, which I thought was great, which is very specific. She also was interested in what his project was about. It came out loud and clear. She's quick to respond. She kept the banter going. So Randy would say something, and she was right there, so you knew that she was present. She showed, to me, total interest in what he was saying. She offered suggestions for how to get it done, the steps to take. She pointed out, what would you do if you cannot carve out the time? She validated to him to put his priorities first. She was very clear about what she heard. She's holding him accountable to his time frame. Let's see. I felt like she gave him hope that there is a solution to his dilemma. The next contact, who should call who, she was clear about that she would call him. I thought it was awesome.
Great. Thanks, Sue. Would there be anything that you would add that for Joyce that she could do differently or more of? In terms of what we're learning in this program?
Let's see. Anything she could do more? I don't know. I thought she did a good job. You know, if I was a client, I felt like she was asking great questions, and I thought she was on the ball, and she was quick. So maybe somebody else could share what she could do, but as an observer,
yeah.
I thought she did a good job.
Yeah, and I appreciate your honesty. And just to clarify, giving her some suggestions of what to do more of would not take away what a great session it was. So thank you for that, leading us into that insight. That was great. Great listening. Amazing listening. My thoughts, and then we'll open it up to Sue and to the group. So, yeah, really challenging to put your
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me, Sue? You're like the only one off mute. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no. Yeah, now I can. Yes, you were kind of garbled.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So, Joyce, you exude nurturing and caring and a supportive nature just by who you are. So I think people are going to be drawn to you in terms of working together because they know that they are going to feel supported. And that's just a great quality to have going into a collaborative relationship. What I would invite you to do more of, you asked some really great questions. Most of them were closed-ended. Most of them were yes and no. And when you asked some powerful questions. Boy, did they land. They really resonated. Totally agree with Sue on what's holding you back. There's an energy and there's a invitation to Randy to really think about, wow, what's going on? Rather than there were a lot of yes and no's, there were also, you had amazing suggestions, but again, our job as clients, and we talked about this last week, and it's just building the muscle, right? It's when to suggest and when to empower the client to come up with their ideas, their way of sort of shaping where they want to go, right? And we can talk about that more once we open it up to the group. I would caution you, and it might just be a habit, and believe me, I have plenty, and I like when people call me on it because it just is a reminder of how I can change, is that right? So rather than saying, is that right, or am I wrong, I would love for you to just choose some different language, and it's so simple. You did it somewhere in there, if I hear you correctly. And then you can reflect back, because if you didn't hear him correctly, he will let you know, rather than just defining it by right and wrong. Hopefully that makes sense.
Right. You might not say, like, am I hearing you clearly, or use the word clear, maybe? Clearly? I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just finish giving this feedback to Joyce, and then we'll open it up. And Joyce, just being mindful that the detail is important. You know, I'm glad you're interested in what he was doing, what the article was about. But in 15 minutes, oh, my gosh, it's like a nanosecond, right? Just more empowering him to get into action. So what came to mind is, you know, where am I reading this? You know, what would it take to get you to sit down and begin this article? What might cause some resistance? You see what I'm saying? Just to get him into action. If you have an hour with him or even longer, even getting into the detail can be great, but it's not as important as getting Randy to move on what his agenda is, which is writing this article and carving out some time. Frame the masterpiece, saw that, did a great follow-up. I would be more definitive about the follow-up, like, when can I call you? You know, I would lead in with, what's a good time frame for this? And let him, again, elicit the responses from your client. Well, maybe I need 2 weeks, or maybe I need a week, or next week. You know, let him come up with it and then clarify that with him. Hopefully that makes sense. Let me just see anything else. Yeah, that was awesome. So again, this feedback is taking you from good to great. So Joyce, would you mind taking yourself on mute? Everyone else is on mute, and share some of your reflections on that session, please.
Sasha, thank you. Really, thank you so much for the feedback. And I realized I did ask a lot of just yes-no questions, and I've been tending to do that, trying to catch myself that I didn't. And, yeah, I can actually see getting more into the action instead of just chit-chatting you. I seriously was interested in his book.
I'm sure. I know you were. Of course.
I was. But also, when I'm being totally honest, there was a little, like, I didn't know what to ask next.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's such a nice guy, you know. He's easy to work with. And everything that you suggested, like I said, I can see that, and I appreciate it. But... Oh. It was also fun, I have to say.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with making it fun. This is the work you're stepping into. You want to feel passionate about it. fun is mm-hmm. great. It doesn't take away from the ability to focus. It's about relationship. It's about collaboration. It's about connecting with others so that they feel safe and supported. And it's a relationship, right? And thank you for your honesty around you didn't know what to say next. So you went into where you're comfortable and feel safe and just sort of, having a conversation more with a friend than continuing to wear your coaching hat. So it's just things mm-hmm. to be mindful of. And there's no judgment on any of this. We're all learning. We are all learning. And it is challenging to do this for 15 minutes in front of your peers. Okay, we have just about 2 minutes. I'm wondering, I'm just going to give her a second. Christine, are you in a place that you can talk? And if I don't hear from you in like 10 seconds, I'll assume that you're not.
Hi, I'm finally in a parking lot, better asleep than never.
I thought a lot of inspiration there. Yay.
I thought Joyce did a great job of shifting the perspective, because I feel like at the beginning of this session, Randy was really feeling some trepidation, even though he wanted to write this article. It was like there was some inner resistance to writing it. And by the end of the session, it really felt like he was excited to go write it. So I felt she really did well with shifting that.
Awesome. Thank you for your insight, Christine, and for being able to speak a little bit on the call. Anyone else have anything to add to give feedback to Joyce? Or any questions?
I have a question, Genevieve. So when we are ending the session and are framing it and saying, okay, so when do you think you can do that by or whatever it is that we end up asking them, and say they don't at all. You know, it's like you talk to them that weekend and or after the weekend and say Randy's like, you know, I just didn't have time and, you know, what I'm just – My question is how do you handle setting goals with people when they don't follow through?
Yeah, great question. It happens all the time, right? Just in general, not necessarily in the coach-client relationship, though it can happen there. And it's part of the agreement when you enter into the coach-client relationship. If your client is continuing to not be held accountable, for example, in this instance, or not showing up to calls or not doing the homework, I mean, it's a time to revisit the relationship. You know, does this person really want coaching if they're not stepping in and doing the work? There are going to be times. Life happens, right? And it's a matter of consistency. Is it a one-time thing? Is it constantly? If it is constantly coming up, it's a conversation to have with your client, absolutely. And those can be challenging conversations to have, but you're honoring the relationship, right? This is part of the work. That's what coaching is being accountable and working towards your goals. And if they don't want to work towards their goals, that's fine. They probably don't need coaching. Is that helpful?
So that's what you would say to your client then, is it's apparent that you are not ready for coaching right now, so I think we need to.
And as a coach?
Relationship. Yeah.
If it's consistently happening, it's a conversation to have. So, you know, I understand, you know, Genevieve, that, you know, last week, you had an emergency, and but I'm just noticing a pattern here of each time we do a check-in that you're not holding yourself accountable in the ways that we agreed to prior to starting our work together. Is there's something you want to share around that, or is this relationship working for you now? Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just a check-in, simple check-in.
Mm-hmm.
Great question. Awesome question. Okay, my friends and yogis, we are out of time. So on your syllabus, you'll see that our homework is to read page 145 and 146. We're going to really dive into this next week, talking about your undeniable benefit statement. So read and use the example there. And if you can, not mandatory, but I'm just encouraging you, if you come up with a UBS, we call it, for short, and share it with someone, that would be wonderful. But even just getting a feel for what a UBS is mainly part of the homework. And then also read pages 213 through 220. Okay. Great call. As always, thank you for being here. And let me know if I can support you in any way before next week. And I'll look forward to talking to you then. Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Bye, everyone.